Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's good to have you here in Bethany. If we could have the PowerPoint up. Robert, thank you. I'm going to speak about two men in the Bible. You probably know the stories, but we're going to have a wee look at these two people today. Jesus had 132 contacts with people in the New Testament. That's how many times it's recorded. There was only six in the temple. There was only four in the synagogue. And the rest, 122 times, were in people's houses or in the mainstream of life. They weren't in church. Jesus didn't meet people in church. He met them wherever they were. And as I said, we're going to look at two people this morning. Zacchaeus. He's a man, wee man syndrome. We hear that quite a lot. And we find the conversation that Jesus had with Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. And just a little bit of the background of the story. When Jesus passed through the city of Jericho, there was a little man, Zacchaeus, who climbed a tree to get a better look. Because when there's a crowd of people, he couldn't see anybody. He couldn't see the person who was speaking because he was small in stature. And Jericho is 15 miles just outside of Jerusalem. You may remember Jericho as the city which had the walls broken down by the children of Israel earlier on in the Old Testament. And climbing trees, I'm not very good at climbing trees, but I have four girls who are experts at climbing trees. And my brother Alistair has a tree in his back garden. It's about 100 feet high, and when we went to see him, the girls climbed a tree, and they climbed higher and higher and higher and higher, and the branches were getting smaller and smaller, and I thought, there's no way they're getting to the top of this tree without it bending. But lo and behold, I think Esther and Ruth were at the perch at the top of this tree. And not a tree like this Zacchaeus was in, where people could see him. It's called a sycamore tree. Now, a sycamore tree has a short trunk and lots of greenery. So I think it would be something like this. Zacchaeus would be hidden in the tree, just wanting to see this guy called Jesus, who was coming. It's a very sturdy tree. The Romans were in rule over the land, and they paid dues to collect their taxes. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, so I don't know if he had a number of other tax collectors under him, whether he was a manager. And Jericho was in a very prosperous area, and Zacchaeus was very wealthy because he got a cut of all of the other people that were working for him. And the Romans, they just wanted their set amount, whether it was £5, £10, £50. Once they got that, they were okay. And anything else was for the tax collector to keep. So there was widespread corruption. Now, we hear about tax collectors now, they're not very well liked. When we get our taxes taken off, as if we get emergency tax or we get a change in our tax code, we don't like it if something has made a difference. And the Jews of the time hated these Jewish tax collectors because they felt they were traitors to them. They felt they were it was their own people who were taking their money. So let's have a look at the passage. Hopefully we can see that. Luke chapter 19. You can follow it in your Bible, or you can have a look there. Verse 1, Jesus went on into Jericho and was passing through. There was a chief tax collector there named Zacchaeus, who was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was a little man, and he could not see Jesus because of the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, who was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay in your house today. Now, I was speaking to my brother last night, and for Jesus to say that to Zacchaeus, that he was going to come to his house, Jesus was honouring Zacchaeus. The people around must have been absolutely livid. Why on earth would Jesus want to come to Zacchaeus' house? He's the chief tax collector. We hate him. Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed Jesus with great joy. All of the people who saw it started to grumble. This man has gone as a guest to the home of a sinner. Have their opinions out in the forefront, don't they? Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, said, listen, sir, I'll give half my belongings to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, I will pay back four times as much. Jesus said to him, salvation has come to this house today, for this man also is a descendant of Abraham. Jesus looked at his history. Jesus looked at his genealogy and called him a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus. He thought he could hide. Quite often we think we can hide from things. We don't want to think about things that are going on in our lives. We just put it to the back and hope that it will go away. But Zacchaeus thought he could hide. And just like Adam and Eve in the Bible, in Genesis, you can't hide from God. God knows. Adam and Eve were hiding because they were naked. And God said to them, how do you know you're naked? So you must have eaten from the tree. Maybe you're hiding from God today. Maybe you're pushing away God. Maybe you've come here for a few times and you've heard about this person, Jesus, and you've just thought, oh no, I'll just push him away again. It's too much of a hassle for me to try and change my life, but it's the best thing you could ever do. It's the greatest decision you could ever make. Don't hide from God. Let him come and come into your life. Jesus amazed the crowd by calling Zacchaeus down to say that he would be coming to his house that day. Absolutely crazy in the eyes of the crowd. Why would he go to that house? Does he not know who he's speaking to? All of the people missed the point. Jesus came to speak to Zacchaeus. There was crowds wanting to see Jesus, but he was there to see Zacchaeus. He called Zacchaeus by name. He knew who he was. He knew he was in the tree. Even though Zacchaeus was hiding up the tree, Jesus came and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I can see you. He knew exactly who he was speaking to. And he does that to us too. He calls us by our name. He knows who we are. He knows where we are in our journey. And in a true act of repentance, Zacchaeus came down. He changed his dishonest ways and he stated that he would pay back the people that he had cheated and give half of his wealth to the poor. Jesus came to Jericho to meet Zacchaeus. He would never go to Jericho ever again. Because after that, Jesus went to Jerusalem and he died on the cross. So this was the one opportunity that Zacchaeus had to meet Jesus. This was his one and only chance to come and meet him. And I believe that Zacchaeus wanted, if you look at it, thinking a little bit outside the box, did Zacchaeus want to change his ways? Did he realise that he was doing wrong? Jesus never came that way again. This was the time for Zacchaeus. He met with Zacchaeus in his own place. He didn't come that way again. And how many times have we seen this on our phone? The phone rings and you can either accept the call or you can reject the call. You can decline it. How many times have we declined a call when it's an unknown number? We don't know who's calling us. And we decline and we hope that it'll go to voicemail and we can see who it is. Well, is Jesus calling you today? Is he coming right into where you are here in Paisley on this Sunday afternoon? And are you going to accept him? Are you going to have him be part of your life? How will you respond? He's not asking you to give half of what you own to the poor and give back people that you've stolen money from, because that was Zacchaeus' life. He's knocking at your heart's door. It's as if he has your mobile number and he's ringing it. But you've got it coming up as unknown, as I said. And maybe Jesus is leaving a voicemail saying, "Hello, it's Jesus here. I want to be your friend." We have friends and family on our phone. We have our calls that we ring the most, and they're at the top of our phone log. There's so many ways that we communicate today. I was told by my children that Facebook's old, Twitter's old. You want to be on Insta, Dad? What is Insta? Instagram. You want to be on Snapchat? All of these things are old-fashioned. I thought I was being quite popular. WhatsApp is a great way of communicating with each other. It's all about likes and followers. You want to have people like what you're posting. You want to have people following what you're saying. How many times can you keep a streak going? I watch Ruth every morning and she goes click, 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 all the way down. This is her communicating with her friends. To keep that streak going, keep that communication backwards and forwards with them. Do you start a connection with Jesus today? Do you have the ability to follow him? Or does he follow you? And keep that relationship going. Zacchaeus had one opportunity to meet Jesus, and he changed his life. It changed his life forever. Jesus came and met him where he was. The other person I want to speak about is Peter. We can relate so much with Peter. Peter speaks first and listens second. Peter jumps in with both feet. Peter makes a juck of things every time he opens his mouth. Here he is, the big, burly fisherman. But Peter let Jesus down badly. Let's read Mark chapter 14. Peter felt despicable. And here's the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples in a room. And he says this, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." Peter, big bold Peter, goes, "Not me, Lord, I'll not leave you." What he didn't know was that he would, "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll disown me three times, Peter. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Peter jumps in again. "No way. There's no way I'll do that, Lord. I will stand next to you even if I've got to die next to you." And all the others said the same. Peter, the big bold man, the big guy who says first before he thinks about what he says. Jesus says to Peter, three times you will disown me. Here's another part. Further down in that same passage, while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said. And he went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow's one of them." Again, he denied it. "Here's Peter. Not me, Lord. I'll stand by you." Twice already. And it's a wee girl who said it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses. And he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Three times Peter denied Jesus. And at the end of the third time, that's when the rooster crowed. My brother-in-law's parents used to have a farm down near Stranraer. And the rooster would crow at 4 o'clock in the morning, as if to say, "Well, I'm up, so everybody can get up." Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him before the rooster crows twice, "You'll disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. Here's a different Peter. Here's a broken Peter. Here's a big guy who's just realised he's let down his best friend. He's hurt. And in one of the other versions of the gospel, it says Jesus looked at him. He looked directly at Peter as if to say, three times, Peter, you've let me down. Big bold Peter. Here he is, crying his eyes out, realising he'd let his Lord down. Only once there's... What's the next bit? So here's the Lord Jesus looking at him, looks directly at him. Peter realises what's happened. There's another version. Another story of Peter. He comes up quite a lot in the Bible. Here's a different Peter. Here's a contrite Peter. Here's a Peter that's quiet. Here's a Peter that's listening. After they'd eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. "You know that I love you. I know that I've let you down, but you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. "You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." A third time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter became sad because Jesus had asked him the third time. And in Middle Eastern tradition, if you have to ask somebody a question three times, you're challenging their character. Peter became sad because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And so he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." Then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." If you don't know what this is a film called Despicable Me. And it says down there, can God use despicable people? You might think that you've done far too many wrong things in your life, that there's no way that Jesus would want you. There's absolutely no way that you could be used of him. I was at a concert last Saturday night with Eunice, and the chap who was speaking at it said there's three words that you have to say to Jesus, and it's probably the three hardest words that we could ever say in our lives. To say sorry. We hate saying sorry to people. It's the hardest thing in the world. But see, when you say sorry and you mean it, it makes a difference in your life. So I'm sorry, Jesus, for letting you down. I'm sorry that I have done all these things in my life. I'm sorry that I'm really not good enough. I'm despicable. How many times have we got something and we've just taken it? How many times do we have to say thank you? You can say this afternoon, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross to die for me. Thank you for giving your life that I can have a relationship with you. I'm sorry for the things I've done, but I'm thankful for what you've done. And please come and join into my life. Jesus went to the cross for everyone. He had nails through his hands as he was strung across that wooden cross. He had nails through the palms of his hands, and his feet were put together. Here's a little maths puzzle. One cross plus three nails. So one plus three is four. Forgiven. Is that what we need this afternoon? Do we need to be forgiven for the things we've done? Do we need to come and speak to Jesus? Start that relationship with him. Maybe Jesus is coming here today. Maybe this is like Zacchaeus. Maybe this is your one opportunity to come and to meet him. This might be the one day that you can be forgiven. Will you say those words? Will you take the call from Jesus? Do you believe that he can forgive you? Turn to Jesus today. It's the best thing you could ever do. And if you don't know what those steps are, if you've never ever really grasped it, come and speak to someone that you know here in Bethany. Come and speak to me or anyone else, and we would be overjoyed to share those steps with you. Do you need to be forgiven by Jesus? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for what he did for us as he took those nails through his hands and his feet. He did it for every single person in this room today. And had it just been this group, the Lord Jesus would still have gone to Calvary and still have given his life. But what does that mean to us? Who is Jesus? Maybe we don't know him. Maybe we have no concept of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I would pray today that each and every one of us would grasp that we would see Jesus for who he is and what he can do for us. Will we accept that call? Will we become one of his followers? Will we have our name written in that book in heaven? Can we say today, sorry, thank you, and please, sorry for what I've done, and I thank you for what you have done, and please come into my life today. So Father, we ask that you'll be with us. Bless us, we pray, in your precious name. Amen.